Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Xiaosheng Cho, author of the book Chinese Soul Food, a friendly guide for homemade dumplings, stir fries, soups, and more. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kara, for having me.
So you say that Chinese soul food is classic comfort food, which I love. I would love for you to talk a little bit about what comfort food means to you and about how the recipes in this book really speak to that desire.
Sure. So what comfort food means to me are a lot of these dishes that are common across all Chinese people. I mean, if you listed any of the dishes in my book, they would immediately get that hang of you know, good memories and delicious foods that they probably grew up with. So a lot of these foods are, well, they're not fancy, that's for sure. You can fancy them up, but they're everyday home cooking, and I've tried to streamline the recipes a little bit for this book so that we can, you know, help encourage more people to cook this way. So it's really just meant to be accessible.
And I know that you teach cooking classes in Seattle where you live. What are some of the things that people ask, or what are some of the sort of sticking points for people learning to make Chinese food at home? And what do you give them to encourage them or to make them feel empowered to try some new techniques or recipes that they haven't before?
Sure. So the question I guess the response that I get the most is that people can't believe how simple the cooking actually is for many dishes. Now, that's not to say there aren't dishes that require a long preparation, stir fries, and even some pastries and things like that, green onion pancakes for one. Once people learn it, they're like, oh, okay, I get it now. It's not as difficult. They're also a little bit fearful of some of the ingredient lists. And the prep list, the ingredients, sometimes the list can seem long, and maybe the ingredients appear to be a little, you know, exotic, so to speak. But in reality, they shouldn't be fearful of it. And I explain to them why, and then talk them through it. And I guide them through the basic techniques of, for example, how to do a stir fry. And I try to break down the barriers, and I say, you know, it's ideal if you have a lot of these types of equipments, like a wok and, you know, a proper wok spatula, and if you have great soy sauces and things like that, that helps you gain success. But let me break down barriers, and if you don't have a wok, well, let me tell you how to get started with a saute pan, and then you work your way up to a wok. I'm not going to let any of that be a barrier. So it's just basically talking people off that ledge of fear, and they shouldn't fear it.
I love that. And I think taking out as many of the barriers and as many of the sort of pain points as possible is such a great way to get people to move outside of their comfort zone a little bit. What are some of the techniques that you think are really important for learning to make Chinese food at home? And what are some of the places that you encourage people to start with?
So a lot of the... Okay, let's break this down. So some great skills to have in the kitchen in general. If you have good knife skills and a really great chef's knife, that will carry you far. Okay, so I always tell people that, you know, you can have all these other single-purpose tools, but if you have a great chef's knife and some basic knife skills, that's going to help you a lot in the kitchen. So all the prep work that people are afraid of, all the cutting of the vegetables and the meats and stuff, you know, you can take care of that. And then other skills, just remembering not to be afraid of ingredients, especially since in my book I offer different alternatives. So I want to meet people where they are, and if all they have is the cucumber and soy sauce, so be it. Let's start with that. So kind of taking that down and giving people permission to not be perfect, and to not think that they have to be perfect and follow, you know, follow all of those recommendations, which they are, their recommendations. They don't have to follow them to the T if they can, if they have alternatives. And then as far as stir frying and things like that, it's important to preheat your wok, make sure that you have that high temperature, because that's what stir frying is. It's cutting up all those meats and vegetables into pieces that can cook quickly. And once you apply that to the heat, your food cooks pretty fast. So it's just getting all those pieces lined up and then not letting yourself be overwhelmed.
I'm going to ask you a few troubleshooting questions now, because I feel like there are a few problems that people constantly run into. And the first one is mushy stir fries. Why does that happen, and how do you prevent it?
That happens because you have not achieved high heat. And if you don't do that and you overcrowd your pan, that's when food starts to boil in the oil or the sauce, versus that telltale stir frying searing sound that you get. So you want to make sure that you preheat your wok, or if all you have is a saute pan, then that's what you have. But preheat your wok, make sure it's super hot. And then you want to then add your oil and then add your ingredients in whatever the prescribed order is for the recipe. But also don't overcrowd your pan. Some people think, oh, I'll just double this recipe, or, you know, I'll throw in some more ingredients. More is not necessarily better in this case. So don't overcrowd, and that will really help set you up for success.
I think another thing that people are afraid of is making homemade dumplings and having them fall apart during cooking. Dumplings are a little bit scary for someone who hasn't gone through the folding process before. What are some of your tips for making sure that they are sturdy and stay together when they're cooked?
Well, if you're making your own wrappers at home, then the dough itself will have some stickiness to it. So that will help the edges stay together. And just make sure that you pinch them shut. The pleating process can be scary because people think that they have to have the pleats a certain way. And I tell people that when you are making dumplings at home, all the way from scratch, that everybody has a slightly different folding style, and that's okay. It's like your fingerprint almost. So you have your signature style of folding and pinching, and that's great. Don't think that they all have to look alike, or they all have to look like the photograph. So that's one key. If you are making dumplings from store-bought wrappers, the key there is to make sure that you take some water and dab the edges of the wrapper to make sure that all those the flaps stick together. And when you're boiling, I think when dumplings fall apart, it tends to be in a when you're boiling them, you know, you hit the water and then it falls apart. If you're pan frying or you're steaming, that's less of an issue. So if you are boiling the dumplings, then just give it that extra little pinch on the edges to make sure that they're sealed.
And then I wanted to talk a little bit about Chinese New Year, which is this month. And what's the meal that you would make for Chinese New Year, especially if you were a beginner and wanted to make a few things that go together nicely to have some people over for dinner, but not being too ambitious? What are some of the recipes from the book that you might recommend?
Sure. So what I recommend for a beginner for Chinese New Year, okay. But, you know, it's like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's Eve all wrapped into one. So usually we have a very big feast. But you're right. If you are just starting out, you don't want to try to lay all of that out on the table, because that can be overwhelming. The key thing to remember for a Chinese New Year meal is to have a little bit of everything. So you have something from the sea, something from land, a nice selection of vegetables. So if you were to do, say, three or four dishes, maybe you had, you know, you could even go to the, if you have a Chinatown or an Asian market where they sell roasted duck, get a roasted duck, bring that home. That can be one of your pieces. You know, whole duck is really means wholeness and good luck and good fortune, all those things. Have a stir-fried greens. There's a simple stir-fried greens in the rest in the cookbook, and that's really simple to make. So just get some delicious Asian greens, whether that's baby bok choy or yu choy, or even a hearty lettuce. Lettuce is good luck. So you could cook, stir-fry a really hearty lettuce. And then maybe have pick a beef dish. Maybe the there's a beef with broccoli. You could do beef with Chinese broccoli, or you could do beef with regular broccoli. That could be something. And then a good luck dish is also noodles. So you could do the, I have a long life noodles that's for New Year's, but you make your own noodles for that. That might be a little bit too ambitious for a beginning cook. Maybe you do the stir fried noodles with just, you know, store-bought noodles, which is fine too. So that's a good option. And I think just having those few things would kind of round out your table. And then once you get used to it, you can do the big meal and make, you know, spend a couple of days prepping and cooking.
Thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. It's a really gorgeous book, and I think it'll give people a lot to work with in starting to explore a new cuisine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Check out the book, Chinese Soul Food, A Friendly Guide for Homemade Dumplings, Stir Fries, Soups, and More. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.